Interfaith couples face a difficult question when they decide to have children. Woody Allen put a comic touch on the problem.
We used to go to New York University a long time ago, which is in Greenwich Village. That's where I started. And I was in love in my freshman year. But I did not marry the first girl that I fell in love with because there was a tremendous religious conflict at the time. She was an atheist. And I was an agnostic, you know. We didn't know which religion not to bring the children up in.
Okay, well, the more serious problem, of course, is how do believers in different faiths talk about religion? Can I teach morality without using a religious code? And as a parent, how much should I intervene in my child's spirituality? Well, for Julia Dahl, growing up with an interfaith household was a blessing. Dahl's mother is Jewish, her father is Lutheran, and she says that experience gave her a rare outsider's view of the way each religion is structured and how similar they are in many ways. She's written two novels inspired by her time as a crime reporter and growing up in an interfaith household. Julia Dahl will be speaking about that experience and her books at Judea Reform Congregation in Durham this Sunday morning. But first, she joins me on The State of Things. Julia, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about growing up, what it was like in your household, because your father was not just a Lutheran, in fact, a Lutheran minister.
Right. Well, growing up, he was actually a lawyer. It wasn't until after he put us through college that he went back to school and became a minister. But he was always very involved with his church. He was the president of our congregational church at the time. We were at a congregational church, and he taught Sunday school. But my mom, you know, went to synagogue many, many Fridays, and you know, neither they are, you know, married and have probably among the best married relationships I know of. But they really brought us up both. We had, you know, Hanukkah and Christmas and Easter and Passover, and we had to go either to Sunday school at church or Sunday school at synagogue each week. We could choose, but we had to go to one.
You consider yourself now Jewish?
I do. I consider myself Jewish. I'm more of a, I would say, a cultural or secular Jew. I'm not terribly religious. I don't belong to a synagogue where I live in New York. I've always felt like I was very close with my grandparents who were Jewish, and my grandmother, among many things, intelligent things that she said, was that she used to say to me, "Julia, there are enough Christians in the world. We need more good Jews." And I've always sort of felt like, you can choose Christianity, you know, accepting Christ into your life is something that a lot of people do who maybe aren't even brought up Christian. But Judaism, I always felt like, sort of chooses you. And it felt like something, a privilege that I was given by birth. And I felt like I couldn't turn away from it.
You can talk about the similarities among religions, you know, many roads, one mountain and all of that. But there are distinguishing characteristics and exclusive characteristics in both. Did you raise those questions at home? They can be troubling, you know.
Yeah. One of the reasons I end up writing these books about a young woman who grew up with a Christian father and a Jewish mother was because one of the main issues that I've dealt with or sort of grappled with intellectually throughout my life, starting from a very young age, was what does it mean to be Christian? What does it mean to be Jewish? And, you know, when I dabbled in both as a child, I went to the Christian Sunday school and youth groups and then I joined a synagogue in college. We had discussions about the differences and the similarities, but my parents really always found, I think, the similarity is so much more powerful, that religion was about, for them, belief in God and good works, being a moral person, treating your do unto others, seeking justice, education, and that was really what was pressed in my house. Yeah.
And you, as you say, you've written two books, and both were really informed by your upbringing in that household. Tell us about your first book, Invisible City.
Right. So Invisible City is about a young New York City tabloid reporter who is the product of an interfaith relationship, but sort of more heightened than my parents' interfaith. Rebecca is the name of the main character, and her mother was an Hasidic Jew who grew up in Brooklyn. And at about 18... began to rebel and met her father, a Methodist from Florida who happened to be in New York City on an exchange program. They fell in love, ran off together, and the mother got pregnant. And Rebecca is the product of this union, but her mother abandoned her. And went back to her very insular religious upbringing in Brooklyn. And so for Rebecca's whole life, she's wondered who her mother is. Is she dead or alive? And also been very sort of drawn to, you know, what is Judaism? What is this heritage that I have but know nothing about? So she moves to New York City as an adult, is a reporter, and is sent to the scene of a murder. It turns out that the woman who has been murdered is a Hasidic Jew from Borough Park, which is the same neighborhood her mother was from. So she becomes very drawn into this, investigating this case.
Will you read for us?
Sure, sure. So this is just a very little bit from Invisible City. All you need to know is that the victim of the murder was named Rivka Mendelson, and Rebecca's mom is named Aviva. From the moment I encountered Rivka Mendelson's body and connected her to Aviva's Orthodox world, I was ready to pounce. It was easy. When I said I was a Jew, they spoke to me. But I misinterpreted what they were asking when they asked over and over, "You're Jewish?" It wasn't, "Do you know this phrase in Hebrew?" or "Have you been bat mitzvahed?" They were asking me, "Do you understand?" The fear of being a Jew, the baggage, the long legacy of hate and murder and discrimination, the rootlessness, the desperate need for self-preservation. And of course, I don't really know. I only know the baggage of being me. But part of it, I think now, is being a Jew.
Julia Dahl, novelist, reading from her first novel, Invisible City. She's going to be speaking about her books and her upbringing at Judea Reform Congregation in Durham this Sunday morning. I mean, it's an interesting concept to think about, especially in your position, sort of being able to choose, because the identity described there in just a very short passage has a whole history. And you sort of can't imagine opting into a history, right?
I mean, yeah. And well, what I didn't want to do was opt out of that history. Yeah. I felt like, you know, I was born into this legacy of, you know, a really rich and troubled legacy. And I just couldn't imagine turning away from it. It really felt like a privilege that I was allowed to be a part of this group of people who have, you know, been victims, but also been, you know, that education and justice is such a big part of what the Judaism I knew was about. And I just couldn't imagine not embracing that.
The sorrow, I think, of all religions in some ways is that each of them in one way or another talks about wholeness and about completeness, belonging to some very large transcendent project that's beyond us. So what would happen if we all were born into that history and all shared that grief and approached each other as, you know, brothers and sisters in that grief?
Right. I mean, I've always, you know, Christians, the difference between Christians and Jews obviously is so, you know, one accepts Christ as the Messiah and one does not. And I know it sounds probably strange to say this, but that didn't feel like the biggest thing to me, you know, well, the similarities are just so much more. And it's so sad to me that the history of strife between these two religions who are so similar.
Well, and the failure to see yourself as the victims of that grief and the perpetrators. I mean, that's the power of sort of getting past the wall of your own secular belief. As a Christian, if you don't see how you bear the scars both as perpetrator and victim of the Holocaust and other great tragedies in history, it's very possible that you're missing the point. You know? So,
yeah.
but also the other part that informs this is the crime writer part, which you got to by way of 17 Magazine.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think about it now, and I think I was destined to become a mystery writer. I was reading, you know, Agatha Christie novels and Stephen King novels when I was like 9 years old. But yeah, basically, I was a women's magazine writer, but I was always, you know, reading mystery novels and watching Law and Order and that sort of thing. And a friend of mine at 17 Magazine emailed or called me and said, "We've got this awful story about a young woman who was killed in Birmingham, Alabama. Do you want to go do it?" And yes was my answer. That sounds interesting. And I was just hooked. I've always been drawn at some level to the sort of darker side of life, but I loved the work of reading trial transcripts and talking to attorneys. And frankly, I found the working with and talking to victims' families and even families of people who've perpetrated crime that I had, for whatever reason, a knack for being able to talk to them in a way that was respectful but also would get the information that I needed in order to tell the story. It just I just clicked for me, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So yeah, I became a crime reporter. I worked for the New York Post for 3 years, which was a crazy experience, and which is very much informs these books. The main character is a tabloid reporter. I now work for CBS News writing about crime and justice.
What's the difference between being a journalist and a novelist these days?
Well, you really aren't allowed to make up stories as a journalist, despite what lots of people think.
Note to staff, this just in. We can't do this anymore,
yes.
Apparently.
I mean, you can do things. What I love about journalism is interacting with and meeting people that I would never meet in my, you know, sort of everyday life. What I love about fiction is that you're not tied to the facts of the case, to the truth, what I like to do is sort of take issues in society. You know, this book, first book, Invisible City, is very much about the insularity of the Hasidic world and some of the perils of that. And the second book is also about that insularity, but also about, issues of intolerance and frankly, gun violence and things like that. The issues that I'm interested in writing about, but I want to delve deeper. I want to make up stories. I want to explore how they affect people internally. And you can't really do, you know, you can't really do that as much in journalism. You can really only write what people tell you. You can't, you know, decide what's in their minds. Yeah. And you can do that in fiction.
Well, you're having a baby in December, I'm told.
I am, yeah.
How are you going to raise that child?
Well, in a way, I really wish I could raise it the way that my parents raised me, because I feel so blessed to have had the upbringing of two religions. But I am not a terribly religious person, and neither is my husband. My husband is sort of a lapsed Catholic. Neither of us are members of a religious church or synagogue. But what I want to do is my son halalically by birth will be Jewish. And I will introduce him to that. I will introduce him to Catholicism, to Lutheranism. And I will, you know, answer his questions and teach him morals. And if he wants to embrace Judaism or some other religion, I will support him in that.
See, the toughest part for you, it seems to me, and not for your son, would be that you're raised by a Lutheran and a Jew, which means that the toughest choice is between lutefisk and gefilte fish, it seems to me.
I choose gefilte fish every time.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm with you. I've had a little bit of both. Julia Dahl, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julia Dahl is a novelist, going to be speaking about her books and her upbringing at a meeting at the Judea Reform Congregation this Sunday at 10 o'clock in Durham. You can find out about that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Heartwood. Stay tuned.